This podcast is brought to you by Racing New South Wales, Sky Racing and Pride's Easy Feed.
Trainers, let me tell you a little bit more about a product called Pride's Easy Feed 3. It features extruded grains which provide the ultimate muscle fuel for anaerobic sprints. It helps to maintain gut health and to keep horses in work for longer periods. The vitamin E and selenium content promotes antioxidant protection for hard-working muscles. Pride's Easy Feed 3 is the simple racing and performance nutrition. You just feed it with ample roughage and an electrolyte if needed. No other supplements are required. Easy Feed 3's digestibility capacity will allow you to feed 2 to 3 kilos less per day than similar raw grain rations. Pride's Easy Feed 3 is available in easy to handle 25 kilo bags and is rapidly gaining favour with trainers of gallopers, harness and performance horses. Have a yarn with your local rep about Easy Feed 3 from Pride's, masters in equine nutrition. Just on 5 years ago, Scott Singleton found himself at the crossroads of his training career. He'd been operating from a Hawkesbury base for over 12 years, winning his share of races on provincial and country tracks, but city class horses were few and far between. It made perfectly good sense to relocate to a country base where he'd have easier access to a wide range of meetings, and most of his owners at the time supported that decision. He investigated properties in Victoria before being convinced by former Hawkesbury trainer Bernie Kelly that Scone was the ideal spot for a trainer who was prepared to travel. Scott and his wife Lucy were in the right place at the right time. Not only did they secure 27 boxes right on Scone Racecourse, but were able to buy 7 acres on the Hunter River, which had just been separated from a much larger property. There was a house for the family to occupy immediately and an outlook that cried out for paddocks, yards and more boxes. They've done a lot of work to the place since 2019 and are very satisfied with the result. Scott, at just 40 years of age, is sneaking up towards a win tally of 400. Like most trainers, he's still looking for that special horse, but for the moment, he's happy to execute his well-known talent for quickly identifying the long-term potential of horses in his care. If horses need to be at Coffs Harbour or Dubbo, that's where they go. If a city-class horse emerges, down the motorway he goes. It's a great pleasure to welcome Scott Singleton to our podcast for a long overdue chat. Good day, Scott. Thanks for your
G'day,
time.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure, Scott. Moving house is one thing, but moving an entire training operation is another. Must have been pretty stressful at the time.
Yeah, no, look, it took a lot of planning, that's for sure. Luckily, Lucy's pretty organised and, you know, we had the help of many of our staff at Hawkesbury and friends, and I think we brought 21 horses up and they sort of came up one day and started working the next day. So as well as sort of getting the kids up here and settled in and moving house as well. So it was, yeah, busy time, but certainly no regrets.
You know, you had the added emotional strain of leaving the Hawkesbury Valley where you'd been born and reared. Must have been a wrench at the time.
Yeah, it's just the fact that things went so smoothly up here and we were so happy here made it easier. But I often, you know, thought I was going to struggle at the time because I'd been going to Hawkesbury Racecourse since I was 3 or 4 years old with my grandfather and sitting on the wall and watching horses trot around the bull ring there. So it had sort of been home for a long time. And yeah, certainly I still like to go back to the meetings and still have obviously friends and family there. So it wasn't anything against Hawkesbury why we moved. It was just, you know, what we had to do at the time.
Is it true that you actually looked at options in Victoria?
Yeah, I went down to Ballarat actually and had a look at that lovely straight track they've got there. And I made an offer on a property at Ballarat and sort of fell through. And then Bernie Kelly and his late wife, Anne, good friends of mine that I'd known at Hawkesbury from when I was riding at the picnics as a kid. They'd moved up here to Scone, and they said, why don't you come up and have a look around? And we did, and the rest is history.
You literally fluked the 7 acres out of town. That property yep. had just come up for sale.
Yeah, actually, we were looking at a couple of blocks with no house or anything on them on the other side of the race course at Scone, and the real estate agent got a phone call while we were there, and he said, I know this place. They've just rung up and explained the situation. Do you want to come and have a look at it? So we went straight there, and we virtually said yes straight away.
Stroke of luck.
Yep.
Yeah. I seem to recall, Scott, you were also able to lease a bit of ground next door. What do you do with that place?
Yeah, it's about 10 acres next door. Look, we just breed a few. A few of our clients are in mares with us, and we breed a few foals every year and grow them out here. And it's really enjoyable to watch them grow, and it's just a bit of a side hobby sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. How many horses have you got stabled on the race course, and how many at home?
Yeah, well, we've got 29 boxes on track now, so that's always full. And then we've usually got five or six that are trained from yards at home, and they truck in and work at the track and then truck home. So it works quite well. There's always a handful of horses that are going to benefit from being in a yard. So it sort of just gives us more options.
The camaraderie between Scone trainers was illustrated recently when you, Lyle Chandler, and Rod Northam all had runners in the country championship final at Randwick. And I believe Lyle and Rod hitched a ride with you.
Yeah, look, it's no point us all going down with one float. So, yeah, just like most race courses, there's good people at Scone. I certainly really like Rod and some of the trainers there. So it's, I'm really happy here and settled, and, things are going well.
Now, Scott, when it comes to bird calls, I'm a dunce, but I can hear one close to you there, and I can't identify the species.
Yeah, I can't help you, mate, but I know our property here, it's on the river bank, obviously the Hunter River, and there's lots of trees, and it's certainly full of wildlife. So
yeah,
I couldn't tell you what bird it is, but it's certainly a peaceful sound.
Yeah, well, I'm sure somebody will recognise it. Somebody listening to the podcast, they might let me know. It seems your maternal grandfather, Trevor Kane, had an enormous influence on your early life. Trev hobby trained a few on a property at Cranbrook, where he had a grass track. Is this where you first got the bug?
Yeah, most certainly. We sort of, being sort of brought up in suburbia, didn't suit me and my brother, so we spent most of our time at our grandparents' property there at Cranbrook, and started riding track work there from a very young age. And my grandfather, he was a really good horseman, sort of apprenticed at Warwick Farm during the war years, and just done everything the old-fashioned way. But as I've sort of come to learn, that's usually the best way, you know, when things were done properly and, you know, no one was in a rush. So I feel even these days a lot of that's rubbed off on me. And sometimes, you know, I see kids doing things the wrong way, and you just got to sort of grab them and say, look, this is the way it's supposed to be done, and the proper way. So, yeah, he was sort of, I think, very good to me that I can see now from a young age, instilling those proper horsemanship skills in, you know. But, yeah, certainly a good horseman. Used to break in his own horses, shoe his own horses, everything like that. So, yeah, it's sort of more realised now that I've gotten a lot older how good a horseman he was.
Yeah, that's great. Good to hear. You later started to ride work at Hawkesbury, where you met another great influence, and it was former top country jockey Harry Williams, who was then training at Hawkesbury, and he was still riding some work. Lucky for you, because he became a tutor.
Yeah, he was really good. Because he'd been a jockey and he was still getting out there on the track, you know, when I was a kid at Hawkesbury, really learned a lot from him, and he helped me ride me trials at Hawkesbury and get me ticket to ride at the amateurs. So there was a lot of good sort of horsemen there at the time, Warwick Hales and people like that, that I sort of picked a lot up off. You know, they done a really good job with their horses, even though they only had small teams. And certainly Harry was a terrific horseman, as is his son Danny now. But I just do remember a lot of things that he taught me that I realise now were very true, you know.
Oh, my word. Now, his son Danny, of course, is very well known as a trainer in his own right from a Goulburn base. But Danny had been an amateur jockey and he turned pro for a while. And I think he rode about 100 winners as a professional.
Yeah, that was just a little bit before my time. But, yeah, certainly heard the stories about, you know, what a good jockey he was. And certainly before I left Hawkesbury, Danny had a little stint there with Tony McAvoy at Hawkesbury. And, he's certainly a lot like his father, Harry. He's a good horseman.
Well, at that time of your life, you dreamed of becoming a jockey, but your build and weight said no.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was very shy, and my grandfather almost said to me, you know, I know you're going to be too big to be a jockey, but you should just get your ticket and ride in some amateur races so that you've got an idea what a horse has got to go through in a race, and it'll help you out, you know, if you start training in the future. And, yeah, I'm glad I did. I still sort of these days realise I got a lot out of that, even though I was only 15 when I was riding at the picnics. But, it did teach me a lot, and I'm glad I done it.
You were more than welcome in the amateur riding ranks, because in your day there was always a shortage of jockeys. Sometimes horses are scratched because there's no one to ride them at a picnic meeting.
Yeah, yep. Look, my grandfather travelled us around a lot of those picnic meetings, and we were riding with guys like Stewie Brown and Danny Malloy, and there were some good riders there. But, I sort of look back on it with good memories, that's for sure.
Well, according to the record, Scott, you had 20 rides at the picnics for 2 wins, one at Trangie and one at Tomingley. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Look, it feels like a lifetime ago now, but I do look back on it as it was certainly a really good time in my life, you know.
Your brother Dean was riding at the picnics, wasn't he, at the same time? And I think he continued on for a while after you gave it away.
Yeah, he gave up for a little while and then went back to it and rode a Bong Bong Picnic Cup winner and stuff like that. So he was a little bit lighter than me. I think we're both glad we done it.
Now, Scott, before we go any further, we should introduce to the conversation your lovely English-born wife, Lucy, who grew up with horses at Wiltshire. Her dad, Peter, trained steeplechasers very successfully. Lucy started out with ponies. She rode to the hounds as a kid, and you tell me she later actually rode in amateur flat races. Is that true?
Yeah, she rode in amateur flat races in England. They've got a bit of a system over there, a bit of a different system, but sort of probably equivalent to our picnics, but probably at a better level. Very, very good rider. Lucy's father, Pete, he's trained steeplechasers and, you know, he's had runners in the Grand National, those big races. So very good horseman. He was still training when me and Lucy first started off, but he's since retired. But, certainly he's a good sounding board for me if I ever get too stuck with things or just can't quite put my finger on it. I have a chat to him sometimes. So he's a good horseman in his own right.
You tell me your in-laws have been regular visitors to Australia in recent years, and I think Peter fell in love with Australian racing.
Yeah, Pete, he loves going to the races anywhere in the world. But, yeah, he certainly, I think if he didn't have grandkids back in England, I think he'd move over here in a heartbeat. They usually come over for 3 months every year and see our kids. And when he's over, me and Pete generally go to the races a lot. And we certainly enjoyed our time. We had a little horse called Platinum Jack a few years back, and we took him to Moonee Valley and won a race, and we took him up to Queensland and won a race. And Pete sort of came with me on those trips. So, yeah, he sort of got the bug for Australian racing.
I'll talk to you about Platinum Jack a little later. Lucy, in your early days of training at Hawkesbury, was a pretty highly valued track work rider, wasn't she?
Yeah, very, very good rider. And it's only been since she sort of had the kids that she stopped riding, but she was a big help early on. And just the grounding they get in England with horses, it's sort of, they just learn differently than our kids do over here. So their take on different horses a little bit different, and it's nice to have that you know, that bit of a different aspect to it.
Nowadays Lucy virtually runs the business, doesn't she, behind the scenes, and she has a regular presence in the stables too. You're spoiled.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it'd all close down pretty quick if she left. So she does all the book work and everything like that, and still works at the stables every morning, so organises everything and the staff and that. So yeah, she does a lot.
Along the way, you and Lucy have become the parents of a pigeon pair. Jack is 14 with little interest in horses. Zoe is 11. You tell me she rides well, although gymnastics is her favourite sporting pursuit, and she's pretty good at it.
Yeah, she's a real athlete, Zoe. Anything sport-wise she turns her hand to, she's very good. Won a couple of gymnastics state titles for her age group, and she's got a horse here that she rides quite often, and I can just tell she's going to be asking me when she can start riding track work soon, I think. But
oh dear.
Yeah, she's very small, but a real strong, stubborn little girl, so I think she'll do whatever she wants to do, you know.
Let me throw this date at you, Scott. 15th of May, 2006. The date of your first win as a trainer with a horse called Reginald in a Bathurst maiden, and the jockey was Christian Reith. I'll bet you remember every minute of it.
Yeah, I do actually, because we took him somewhere, I think it was Cowra or something, his first start, and expected him to win, and he went terribly, and then he won his second start, I think it was at Bathurst, with Reithy in the saddle, and had a good association with Reithy ever since, still put him on these days, so that's been great.
Yeah, hey, Scott, it's a funny thing, you know, you learn very early that horse trainers have got to get used to absorbing that shock run, that poor run, for which you can find no reason. You take a horse to the races, you expect it to run really well, and it goes like a dromedary. You immediately blame yourself.
Yeah, a lot of self-doubt creeps in for sure. So you have to be mentally strong. I've learned that over the years. I was only telling Mitch Stableford, my apprentice at the moment, not that long ago, that, you know, he felt like he was having a quiet run, and I said, you know, chin up, mate. You've got to learn to cope with the quiet times. Everybody has them, and it's just the way it goes. So it's no reflection on you as a rider or anything.
No. Jumping ahead several years to a mare called Shazy Lee, a mare with a few frustrating habits. It's unlikely you could have put up with her had she not had a fair bit of ability. What things did she do to annoy you?
Oh, she's just a difficult, big mare, very hormonal. Big filly, and early days she wasn't too bad, but she started to go off in the barriers and the trucks and things like that, so she made it very difficult for herself. Certainly should have been a better horse, and her career reflects. Most of her best runs were at Hawkesbury, where she didn't have to travel to the races. But yeah, on her day, certainly very talented.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Hawkesbury, that's where she won her best race, the Group 3 Hawkesbury Guineas, with a jockey on board, Scott, that goes around most Saturdays, and I often think how underrated he is, Jay Ford.
Yeah, look, and really good guy as well. Good judge, his feedback's terrific. and very underrated jockey. He's as good as any of them if he's on the right horse. So, had a great association with Jay. He still rides for me a lot of the time when I go to town these days. So, look, that was a great day for us. Jay came in on the Tuesday and galloped her, and just remember walking away from the gallop thinking, you know, you can't get confident in those sort of races, but I sort of thought, geez, how good are they got to be to win one of these if she can't? So it sort of gave us the confidence, and I think gave Jay the confidence that he could just leave her alone in the run and produce a late, you know.
Scott, I'll get you to stand by for a moment. We'll clear a commitment on the podcast. When we come back, I'll get your recollections of a few handy horses you've trained in recent years. Back with Scott Singleton after this. April the 24th, 2006, saw a race day they said would never happen. That was the day the Hawkesbury Club staged the first standalone provincial race meeting ever held in New South Wales. The landmark occasion was attributable to the negotiating skills of CEO Brian Fletcher, who spent many hours in consultation with Peter Verlandis. After overnight rain in the Hawkesbury Valley, the day dawned fine and clear, which helped to bring a big crowd to the historic Clarendon course. Fighting Sun won the Rowley Mile for the late Guy Walter and Cathy O'Hara. The Free Stater won the Hawkesbury Guineas for Paul Cave and James Innes Sr., while Barberton won the Hawkesbury Crown for Charlie Britt and jockey Brent Stanley. Riding honours on the day belonged to the great Jim Cassidy, who won three races on the trot. 18 years on, and we do it all again on May the 4th, when the Hawkesbury Cup, the Hawkesbury Guineas and the Hawkesbury Crown will all be run at Group 3 level and will each carry prize money of $250,000. Another feature on the day will be the listed Gold Rush for open sprinters over 1,100 metres. It will seem little different to a normal Saturday metropolitan meeting. All of the big guns will be there competing on a beautifully prepared racecourse. Hawkesbury stands alone, Saturday, May the 4th. Let me get your reflection, Scott, on a few handy winners you've trained, beginning with a very attractive mare called Concessions, who won five races, seven placings. One of those wins, and I can recall watching it, was the Armidale Cup with Belinda Hodder on board. She bolted in that day.
Yeah, it wasn't long after we'd moved to Scone, and we took, I think, two horses to Armidale that day. She won the cup, and the other horse, Itasca, won the open sprint on the day. So it was it was a good day. Big, lovely moving filly. We just remember worrying she wouldn't get round Armidale, but she really bolted in.
Belinda Hodder, of course, very capable Northern Rivers jockey who rode, I don't know, 400 to 500 winners over a period of years. She's now quit the saddle in recent times and occasionally pops up as one of the presentation team on Sky Thoroughbred Central, and she's doing a good job.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, I respect her comments on the form these days, and she's certainly a really strong rider.
Poet's Advocate was a five-time winner.
Yeah, lovely little horse. I bought as a yearling for some people and had a lot of fun with. He was very good on his day too.
Oakwood Lady gave you a lot of fun. She had 64 starts, all out of town. She won six and she ran 23 placings. By golly, they're hard to find.
Yeah, she's a lovely little mare. She's a little country mare, but she was honest, and we had a lot of fun with her. She won the last running of the Wallabadar Cup. Some lovely people that owned her just walked in one day and asked me to train a mother, and I've still got horses for them now. So that's been a long association with them.
Wallabadar was a very popular meeting once a year on that funny little uphill and downdale track, which was eventually closed down on the direction of Racing New South Wales. A lot of people miss the Wallabadar Cup meeting.
Yeah, I often drive past the racecourse on my way to the races up this way now, and think it's a shame that they don't run it anymore. But yeah, that was certainly a good day.
Adjective won 5 races for you, including one at Canterbury with your old mate Christian Reith on board. In fact, you won a double that day. Flies Away was also successful, ridden by another go-to jockey in Jess Taylor.
Yeah, had a lot of success with Jess. She's been a lot of winners for me. I think her first city winner was on one of mine.
Forbidden Jewel.
Yeah. But Adjective, smart little horse, always plagued by leg problems, but probably should have been a bit handier than he was. But he's a beautiful little horse at the time.
Itasca won 4 races, 9 placings. If only every horse could do that.
Yeah, a couple of real good wins when we moved up here from him. I remember he bolted in at Scone one day by about 6 lengths. He was He's a good, honest horse.
Court Victory was another good bush horse for the stable. He won 7. He ran 9 placings. And John Van Overmeer, Scott, was telling me you were the first trainer to give him a ride in Australia, and Court Victory was the horse. He ran 3rd at Cessnock.
Yeah, he had a good association with the horse when he was just kicking off. John, he was a lovely kid. I remember the day that he won at Cessnock on him. It was the last race, and it was pretty much dark by the time I got out of the swab box with him. And when I was walking towards the float, I was the only car in the parking lot, and there was someone parked next to the float with the lights on. And I thought, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And it was John had waited around to make sure the horse loaded up. Well, and I thought to myself then, it just sort of struck me that, he's going to go places, this kid. His attitude's unbelievable, he's just a good person. And that's rung pretty true for him. He's done terrific.
Oh, sir. Now, John hasn't been riding, Scott, and I haven't been able to find out where he is.
Yeah, he had a stint in Dubai there. A little while back, so I was sort of thinking he might have gone back there, but I'm not 100% sure.
No, I'd like to know. I should give him a ring, because he has literally disappeared from the scene in the last 3 months after a terrific start to the season. He rode 50 winners in no time.
Yeah, he's a terrific rider. He really is.
Looking back on a unique double, you've already mentioned one of them. In 2013, you won a long distance race at Moonee Valley on the Friday night, and you followed up with a Warwick Farm winner the following day. Now, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that was a good weekend. Couple of handy sort of horses you had at the time, Platinum Jack and Dark Brown Sugar. Winning a couple of races in town like that in sort of a 16-hour period or something like that was good.
Karen McAvoy rode the Moonee Valley winner, and Hugh Bowman was on Dark Brown Sugar at Warwick Farm.
Yeah, actually, I spoke to Karen on the phone, and I sort of said to him, thinking about taking this old horse down to Moonee Valley for one of those 3,000-metre races, what do you think? And he said he gave me the confidence to take him. He said, bring him, mate, he'll beat these down here. So that sort of took a little bit of working out, getting him fit for 3,000 with the lack of staying races we have in Sydney, and also first time Melbourne way. But it all worked out good on the night. He won easily.
You were tickled pink to win the Hunter Stayers Cup at Muswellbrook with a horse called Yorkshire Rock. He took a bit of training, didn't he?
Yeah, he was fairly limited, actually, Yorkshire Rock, but he tried hard. Kiwi bred, and he got up to that staying trip, and I think Jeff Penzer rode him, and he's another good winner that we had up here not long after we moved up here.
Now, Scott, if ever a horse was his own worst enemy, it was Partners, with whom you won 4 races for BK Hunt Racing, including a consecutive city double, a Tab Highway at Randwick, and a Benchmark 78 at Rose Hill. He only knew one speed, didn't he, old Partners?
Yeah, he was difficult day to day. You either hacked him around real slow, or he just went flat out. So he's a bit the same at his races. He was best when he was in front and let roll along, but he certainly was in a rich vein of form at that time. And a couple of those real good wins in town when we first moved up to Scone gave us a bit of a push along. you know, and it was nice owners, Benny and his team, so it worked out well.
Now, coincidentally, Partners was buying the Coney, who was also the sire of Nature Strip. And think back on Nature Strip's early days. He was exactly the same.
Yep. He just sort of had that in him, and there was no getting him out of it. I think it'd be a fair while before I have a horse that is as hard to control track work as he was. But in saying that, he was good and honest, and we had a lot of fun with him, you know.
Pretty frustrating, though, isn't it, for a trainer to have a horse like that? So much ability and such a pea-sized brain.
Yeah, definitely. He was honest, but yeah, he just wasn't the smartest, and you know, he was what he was, and he's still done quite well, but he could have been a lot better.
Melody again is a handy mare by Your Song, who won a Tab Highway at Rose Hill last year. Where is she?
Yep, she's just having a little freshen up, and she'll be back in the stables next week. Lightly raced mare with a lot of ability. I expect her to get herself back to town and do something pretty good when she gets back.
And what about Dollar Magic, Scott, who's won three, including one at Canterbury, but before going for a spell late last year, this horse ran six straight seconds on city tracks. You couldn't believe it possible.
No, especially the first one at Warwick Farm. She probably should have won, and then five Saturday benchmark race in a row, she ran second in, and it wasn't for lack of trying. She was trying, she just kept running into one, but she's back now and arguably going just as good or a little bit better, so we're hopeful we can get her over the line in the coming weeks.
Dollar Magic will be watching for a very likely fast win, quick win.
Yeah.
Now, how would you fancy another three or four horses like Rushley Crown? 15 starts, 5 wins, including the recent Tamworth Country Championship qualifier. Throw in 5 placings and $218,000, and you've got a pretty handy horse.
Yeah, look, good, tough, honest horse. Bit of an old-fashioned sort of horse to train. He's just hard and tough, and he races a bit that way. But lightly raced, and there's no reason why he can't keep building on that record. It's nice too, because those people, the Lanhams, have been with me for a long, long time, and I trained Rushley Crown's mother. She won at Canterbury for us there one night, and she was pretty handy, so it's always nicer when you've sort of had the family, and it's just a bit more special, you know.
What was her name, Scott?
Flies Away.
Flies Away, which you'd won a race with at Canterbury.
Yep.
Now, tell me more about Remlap's Commander. A 3-year-old by Extreme Choice, he's a colt. He's won 3 from 5, and I recall watching one of those wins at Newcastle. I think Rachel Murray rode him on the day. He looks smart with a capital S.
Yeah, he's a smart horse. Lovely type of little horse, obviously by Extreme Choice, and kicked off his career in really good fashion. He's a horse I bought at the Yearling Sales and got a lot of the guys that were in Remlap's Gem into him, so it's a good ownership group, and he's had a couple of little setbacks since, but he'll be back in the stable shortly, and yeah, really looking forward to the rest of his career for sure.
Now, one of the best performers in your stable is your very talented apprentice, Mitch Stapleford, a grandson of the recently retired training marvel, Albert Stapleford. You and Mitch had a hot winning streak not long ago.
Yeah, look, he's been a real breath of fresh air, actually. Mitch, he's well-mannered and turns up to work on time and doesn't cause any trouble, and he's starting to ride really good. So he's a good kid, and I'm sure he's gonna make it.
Yeah, now, had he not been well-mannered, Scott, you and I both know his grandfather would have given him the boot.
Yeah, I think he is what he is because of his upbringing, and yeah, certainly no surprise coming from the family that he's from that he's a good kid.
Other than Mitch, you've got 2 other highly valued work riders at Scone. One of them we just mentioned, Rachel Murray, who lives nearby. Rachel just quietly slipped away from race riding last year with no announcement.
Yeah, well, that's sort of her way, Rachel, knowing her, that's that's how she would have wanted it. But actually, her last race ride, she ran second on Rustly Crown in the wild card at Scone last year. And she said, that'll do me. So she's terrific, comes in, terrific track work rider and terrific horsewoman in general. I think she rode something like 500 and something winners as a jockey. So certainly that sort of experience on your horses in the mornings is invaluable.
She had one colossal season on the New South Wales Premiership some years ago. She broke the 100 for the season, first female jockey to ever do it.
Yeah, it's a big feat, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful.
As I say, she's a terrific horsewoman and very happy to have her in my team for sure.
Your other valued track work rider is Billy Cray. He's an Englishman. He's now settled in the Hunter Valley and he's obviously a very good horseman because you've put him on many times.
Yeah, no, terrific little guy, and he's a really strong rider. He certainly rides some of our more difficult ones in the mornings and things. And when I first came to Scone, he was the first one to offer a hand, and we had not a bad little run. Actually, he won a couple of races in town on Remlap's Jam and Nicky Rose for me, and a lot of winners around the place. And then he had a little bit of a break, and he's back with me now. So certainly an asset to the stable.
You haven't gotten the riding bug completely out of your system just yet. I believe you still jump on an odd one from time to time.
Yeah, no, still do a little bit of riding. You know, sometimes I'll ride 3 or 4, sometimes I'll ride 10, just depends, you know, how things are going. And a lot of times one of the guys will say, you know, boss, can you have a feel of this one and stuff like that. So it's a team effort and we all try and work everything out amongst us and get them going as best we can.
You've had a good run lately with the very talented Michaela Weir, who lives in the district.
Yeah, real hard worker, Michaela, and good, strong jockey. Pretty underrated, I think. She rides a lot of winners and probably doesn't get the credit she deserves. But, I like using Michaela whenever I can.
Of the horses in the stable currently, are there two or three that we could recommend to the punters as horses likely to go a little bit further?
Yeah, there's some nice young horses there. There's a colt that's just had the two starts for one winner, 2-year-old called Beyond My Ken. Little horse I bought in New Zealand last year. He's going to end up pretty handy. And there's some nice babies coming through. Another horse called Wannavan that goes all right. And then there's some other lightly raced ones. Like we mentioned before, Remlap's Commander, I think it's 5 starts for 3 wins. And another filly that's racing at Randwick tomorrow, 1 beat, no beat. She'll continue to win races.
You're on a nice little roll right at the moment. Brief Song's a recent winner. Super Story's a recent winner. Vincenzo, I think, has won a couple. And Beyond My Ken won a race not too long ago.
Yeah, there's some sort of progressive enough horses in the stable and a lot of nice younger ones coming through to back them up. So, you know, all being equal, the next couple of years should be fairly fruitful for us.
All of the Scone trainers I speak with tell me the facilities there are second to none.
Yeah, and look, horses are just happy up in the Hunter Valley too, you know, so don't know what the science behind that is, but they just do well up here. And that in itself, I think's a good thing. And obviously things are only going to get better with the improvements that are coming. So really looking forward to the future.
How far are you prepared to travel with horses, Scott?
You've got to go where they're best placed within reason, as long as it's safe for them and everything like that. Like since we've been here at Scone, we've won a couple of races in Queensland with Remlap's Jam. And, you know, if there's a race for them, they're well suited in and they're a winning chance, we'll go.
Right. And would you go as far as Coffs or Grafton on a regular basis?
Probably not on a regular basis, but certainly we'd be looking to go across to Grafton for the carnival and things like that. But everything's doable with the right horse for the right race. You know, that's the way we sort of look at it. We'd rather run a horse in a race that can win rather than break its heart in something it probably can't.
Yeah, good point. Do you have a truck?
Yeah.
Right. How many fit on that?
6.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah, well, it'd be very rare that you'd have more than six at any one meeting.
No, not really. Yep.
Well, as we said earlier, Scott, it wasn't an easy decision to leave your much-loved Hawkesbury Valley 5 years ago to settle in the Hunter. Any regrets?
No regrets. Look, it's not far away. We still have friends from there visit us up here, and the world's a small place these days. So, I mean, Hawkesbury's still there, but certainly no thoughts of leaving Scone anytime soon, that's for sure.
Scott, I've enjoyed our chat. Appreciate your time. Congratulations on all you've done, and just keep going the way you're going.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it.
Scott Cheers. Singleton on a podcast produced by Supernova Sound. Trainers, let me tell you a little bit more about a product called Pride's Easy Feed 3. It features extruded grains which provide the ultimate muscle fuel for anaerobic sprints. It helps to maintain gut health and to keep horses in work for longer periods. The vitamin E and selenium content promotes antioxidant protection for hard-working muscles. Pride's Easy Feed 3 is the simple racing and performance nutrition. You just feed it with ample roughage and an electrolyte if needed. No other supplements are required. Easy Feed 3's digestibility capacity will allow you to feed 2 to 3 kilos less per day than similar raw grain rations. Pride's Easy Feed 3 is available in easy to handle 25 kilo bags and is rapidly gaining favour with trainers of gallopers, harness and performance horses. Have a yarn with your local rep about Easy Feed 3 from Pride's, masters in equine nutrition.